Hoop Heads podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
I believe in coaching the young man first and the player second. The brotherhood pretty much stands just for that. So what we're going to do in our brotherhood is every team is going to be paired up with someone younger. And it's going to be a mentorship, kind of like a fraternity atmosphere almost. And then the lines will hopefully go on and on and on. So it's what I like it to do is it's going to extend from the high school down to the middle school and even beyond the years of wearing a Mustang uniform. It's a place where the players can always come back and feel like family, feel like they have an ownership in what's existing and what's going on. And for the players of today, they realize that they're not just playing for themselves. They're playing for a larger group of people that are brought together, not just by blood, but by basketball.
In this episode of the Hoopheads podcast, for our special Get Schooled series, I talk with Coach John Lepowski, the new boys' head varsity basketball coach for Strongsville High School. After graduating from Strongsville High and Mount Union, Coach Lepowski found his passion in teaching and coaching basketball. He has coached at both the middle school and high school level in Strongsville since 1999. After taking over the Strongsville basketball program on an interim basis for the final 8 games last season, he took that team that had struggled for much of the season on a run to the district finals, where the Mustangs lost a closely contested game with the Lorraine Titans, who would eventually make the state semifinals. After executing the turnaround at the end of last season, Strongsville named Coach Lepowski the varsity head coach this past summer. He's excited about building a new positive culture in the program from the varsity all the way down to the youth basketball program in the city. Coach Lepowski shares his perspective and vision for building a program as a first-time head coach. Learn more about what he believes is the most important building block for creating a culture of success on and off the court. We hope you enjoy this episode in our Get Schooled series with Strongsville boys basketball head coach, John Lepowski. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here and I am with brand new Strongsville head varsity basketball coach John Lepowski as part of our Get Schooled series talking with local Cleveland area basketball coaches. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Mike. It's good to be here.
Awesome. Well, we are super excited to talk to you simply because you're my hometown coach, and I've spent a lot of time. We're sitting in the coach's office at Strongsville High School. I spent a lot of time here as a kid pretending to watch film while I was supposed to be in study hall. So I've been in this room quite a bit. So I'm excited to get a chance to talk to you, just like I know I'm sure you are very, very excited about getting the job. So let's talk a little bit about your run last year, taking over for what was – a somewhat traumatic, experience for the team, and making a nice run into the tournament. So, talk a little bit about getting the job and kind of how you felt then, and then we'll lead into what you're planning for this year.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, it kind of started at Strongsville Middle School. I was in my classroom, and my kids were at lunch actually, and I got a text message from the AD, and he said, "Meet me in the office in 5 minutes." So, immediately. My mind started to wander, and I wasn't really sure, but I came down, and Mr. Smithberger was there also, the principal of the high school. And the AD and the principal sat me down, and they kind of briefed the situation and kind of ended up them asking me if I'd like to take over and finish the season as the varsity basketball coach. And, it's kind of one of those moments where you feel like you're in a movie. You're looking around for the movie cameras and this and that, but you realize, no, this is real and this is my life. And, without hesitation, without jumping up and down on the table, I said, I'm in, let's do this. And it's funny because about 45 minutes after I was introduced in the little theater at the high school in front of the entire program as the varsity basketball coach. And then a couple hours later, we were at practice, and it all happened so quickly. And I think it was a good thing that it happened quickly because it kept me from overthinking. I was able to kind of keep my feelings in check and just go for it. The one thing that I had in my corner was the fact that, I've had a vision for Strongsville basketball for many years. While it was my first year of coaching varsity basketball, I've coached in the district for 22 years. It's been a long-term goal for me to take over this program and represent the city that I grew up in, the city that I live in, the city that my kids go to school in, and that I teach in. And, to finally be at the top of my mountain, I was excited to take care of the village. So anyways, you know, it started there, and I had a solid group of seniors that honestly I give all the credit to. You know, I can't say that I came in and waved a magic wand or had these secret X's and O's that really got us to where we got to. It was a matter of me leading the team in a different direction. And the good thing is that I had relationships with all those players. I coached most of them as they were freshman players. So the relationship was there. I just kind of had to dust it off and move forward with it. As far as the players go, the number one thing I had to do was simple. I had to get love flowing in that team again. I had to get them to love each other and to fall back in love with the game of basketball and simply to unlock the cage and let them out so they could fly. And that's exactly what they did. I mean, we had a little bit of growing pains right away. I think the next night we played Elyria on the road after one practice. So that was interesting. My stomach did a couple turns and flips that day. But, you know, oddly enough, we came out and we played hard against Elyria on the road, our very first game. You know, I got a lot of feedback that the team looked different. You know, they were reignited. And I was excited. And I was excited for them to see them smile and to see them enjoy something that seemed like they lost it for a while. So, after, you know, it took a little while getting used to my new X's and O's and a little bit of new leadership. But, you know, after a few games, man, we caught fire and the good feelings were going, the love was flowing, and it was the start of a fairy tale that personally I'll never forget.
What do you think made the difference in so you take over and you're looking at your team and you're looking at the situation that they just came out of, and you talk about building that love of themselves, that love of their teammates, the love of the game. What was it that you were able to do, or what things did you try with them to try to reignite that love?
Well, the number one thing is I trusted them, you know, and I kind of let I put the seniors in the middle of all of it. You know, they were the ones that were hurting and felt like their senior year was kind of going by the wayside as far as basketball goes. So we all grabbed it before it completely slipped away, put it back in the center. I put them in charge. And I remember the first game, I put on the board my starting lineup, and after each one of their names, I made sure to put senior, 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 senior. I had an all five starting lineup of seniors, and I think that was important, and they felt valued, and they felt trusted, and I think trust was the big part of it. As soon as they knew that I trusted them, they were able to trust each other a little bit more, and they started to play for each other. You know, they kind of understood their roles and what they could do out there as a team. And playing for each other, they were a little bit more loose. They had a lot more fun together. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, it is a game. It's a game. And, you know, you play because you love playing it. And, you know, that's kind of that trust led to the love flowing again. And from there on out, I mean, that's the rest of it was simply just patting them on the back, you know, tweaking a little bit of their offense based on the personnel, things that I thought they could do that maybe they were held back from, and defense. Defense was huge. Defense will always win games.
For sure, especially you get into the tournament, and now you guys are kind of coming in unheralded, and you go on this run, and you make it all the way. You play Lorraine, who ends up losing in the state semifinal to what ended up being the state champs. I was at that game, and just I thought the kids played tremendously hard and played for each other. And I think what I hear you saying is that the ability to build trust, the ability to build relationships with the kids and you, and then the kids and themselves, is really what made the difference. It wasn't necessarily, hey, I'm diagramming more plays or we're running this offense. It was more just about, hey, we're going to play for each other and build relationships. And so talk a little bit about how important that was last year, and how important that is going into your first full season as a varsity coach here.
Well, you know, when I think about those seniors that left us, you know, and moved on to the next journey in their life, I look at them as the founding fathers. You know, they brought Strongsville basketball back again. They brought the good feelings back. You know, we were at Elyria Catholic in that district semi or the district finals. I remember coming out and just being overwhelmed. by the fans and how excited they were, and the student section and how excited they were. And it made me realize just how hungry not only the players were for Strongsville basketball, but the community. You know, to be able to get that team to that point, and for us to get there together and put that in front of our hometown and our students, you know, and there's trust building there too. You know, we wanted them to trust the fact that that drive out there, we were going to make it worth their while, that all those kids showing up and painting their faces and cheering, you know, cheering their heads off and all that, we were going to make that worthwhile for them. So as we move on now, you know, my goal is we got the fresh start. Now we got to build off it. You know, I mean, we put Strongsville back on the map again. Nobody even gave us a chance. And that, I think that kind of worked to our favor because, you know, like I told the kids coming in, ain't nobody played us yet. They haven't played us yet because they can scout all the game film they want. That's not us anymore. So I think that helped us. And I think that's why maybe we were a little bit scary for teams to face because they had no idea what they were getting themselves into. There were new plays, new offenses, new defenses, new attitude, a new sense of confidence. And I think that that kind of helped us as well. And a new student section and a new crowd that simply kind of faded away for a while. And I understand that. So, you know, moving on, I want to keep that there.
How do you keep engaging? How do you keep that? To me, and again, this is my hometown. This is the place where I grew up playing. This is it means a ton to me. My kids go to school here just like your kids go to school here. And so how do you keep engaging the student community at the high school? How do you keep engaging the larger community to get them out to the games, to support the team? What are some things that you have in mind as far as keeping that engagement with the community?
Well, I will tell you, I do have a little ace in the hole there, is I have a very boisterous and confident senior girl at the high school that I pretty much put in charge of marketing my program and bringing the round ball rowdies back into the house and getting crazy. And you know, in my heart and in my mind, I feel like just come to the first game. I just want to get them there that first game, and I don't think we're going to lose them. Because at the end of the day, we have to put a product on that court that's entertaining, that's not discouraging, that's not depressing, that doesn't make people sigh and roll their eyes or shrug their shoulders, something that gets them excited. And, you know, and that's what September, October, and November is for. It's going to be a grind because we did lose a lot of those kids. So, you know, it's little things. It's having the middle school kids up to our open gyms at the high school, getting them excited about it, having them come to the games. It's talking to people in the community, having my players invite five people that normally won't come to a game to our games, because that's going to electrify my players as well. That's going to get us excited when we see all the people that come and show up for us. You know, it's we got to show up for them as well and show up for each other. So, you know, a big part of coaching is marketing. You market your program from the inside to each other, and you market it to the outside because it's a total effort. We need everybody in order to do what we need to do.
Yeah, I think making that connection, I know, again, my son's a middle school kid, and he's been more excited in the last 2 weeks to be able to be a part of the open gyms and come up and have the high school varsity kids cheering for him while they're playing. And I think those things just make a huge difference. It's something that's been missing here for a number of years, for whatever those reasons may be. And again, I can speak for my own family that there was never any aspiration of my son in third, fourth, fifth grade looking at varsity players saying, I want to be like that when I grow up. And I know when I was coming up, I went to the games with my dad all the time. And the thing that I always wanted to do is I wanted to run out during warm-ups and hear the fight song and slap the backboard on a layup. That was what I thought was the coolest thing ever when I was a kid. And so that, to me, is what's been missing. And so the fact that you've been able to start that process of reconnecting the high school varsity program with the younger kids, I think is huge. And then, as you described, trying to get the greater community at large and having your players visible in the community and inviting people who might not ordinarily come to a game, I think those are great ideas because, again, we all know as a coach, as a player, when you're playing or coaching in a game where the stands are packed and there's a level of energy, it just pushes you to even greater heights and greater levels of effort. So I'm excited to hear the things that you're talking about, again, selfishly as a parent in the district, to hear the things that you're going about and you're doing. So let's take it one step further and let's focus on the basketball side. And if you were to describe what are the pillars of your program, when somebody comes and watches the Strongsville Mustangs play this winter, they're going to walk out of the gym after watching your team play and they're going to say, what is Strongsville going to be known for? What do you want us to be known for?
Well, it's one word echoes in my mind over and over and over. And I've always been a defensive-minded coach, always. And some of my greatest teams that I've had, whether they were 7th graders, 8th graders, or freshmen, it's never been amazing offense or crazy plays or anything about that. It's always, our offense has always been, it's always flowed through our defense. You know, we get a stop that leads to a score. You know, watching a lot of the game film and just being on the side as an assistant coach, our defense has lacked a bite, I believe. You know, it's kind of like a sponge. It seemed to just absorb everything that the offense came at us with. You know, we allowed too much. So this year, rather than be that spongy defense, I want these kids to show their teeth. You know, you're going to see a lot of ball pressure, a lot of help side, a lot of us shutting doors and closing gaps up. And I want to be that team that other teams hate to play. You know, I as much as I would hope, but I don't foresee us winning any offensive shootouts this year. You know, we're going to have to keep teams in the 50s and the 40s with tough defense. And that's exactly what I'm going to focus on. And it's not just the X's and O's of the defense, but, you know, if you're going to ask a kid to play a certain kind of defense and ask them to do certain things and they don't, it's not necessarily because they're not disciplined or they don't want to or they're not good enough. It's you have to tune up that body and their conditioning level to be able to do that. You have to tune up the machine to perform in the way that you want. So, I mean, if we're going to be working the kids hard as far as conditioning, as far as lifting goes, so they can physically do what we're asking them to do, which is going to be an awful lot on the defensive end. So when you see us play, you're going to see a defense that's relentless, a defense that's together, and a defense that's stubborn that really paves the way for baskets scored on the other end, which will be our offense.
So talk about the schedule and the league that you play in and what a challenge that league is, because I think there's a lot of people out there that don't understand the quality of the league that Strongsville plays in terms of what these teams are not only doing in the regular season, but you look at the success that the league had in last year's state tournament. I think 5 of the teams made it to the regionals. You know, people I don't think understand that you can have a 500 team in this league and be a team that could potentially make the final 16, the final 8 in the entire state. So talk a little bit about the challenge of the schedule.
Well, we definitely have a difficult schedule. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, the GCC, it really, it's a real deal. I mean, we have a lot of stacked teams. We have a lot of great coaches and a lot of great players inside and out in that league. I've seen them for years. But you've kind of hit a pet peeve of mine and something that I vowed myself to never say to my players or never to say to my coaching staff is the fact that we're in a tough league. The GCC is so tough. I want to be one of the reasons why it's so tough. I don't want to use that as an excuse. I don't want to look at a record that might not be so good and say, well, it's because we're in the GCC. It's not going to float. It's been said in the past. It will be said no more. Our goal is to be one of the reasons why the GCC is tough. So that's, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good teams in it, but it's my job to make sure that we're one of them and that we make it just as hard on our opponents as they do on us. And that's pretty much the way we feel and the direction we're headed in our program.
So talk about how that can help your team be better. I look at, I'm going to go back and date myself and go back to when I was playing. And when I was playing here, we played in the Pioneer Conference.
Right.
And the Pioneer Conference, comparatively, was not very good. And myself as a player, I always felt like our schedule hurt us when it came time to play in the state tournament, because I didn't feel like we had played the level of teams that we were going to face if we wanted to go as far as we possibly could. So talk about how playing better competition causes your program to rise up to meet the challenge.
Well, I mean, you know, the basketball season's a roller coaster ride at that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ups and there's a lot of downs. My favorite thing all year is March Madness. I absolutely love it. And if you look at the teams that survive and go, it's the teams that are peaking. It's the teams that survive their journey. It's the teams that are able to get up after getting beat. No matter what happens, winning, losing, whatever, there's always lessons to be learned. And as a coaching staff, we're going to take advantage of all those lessons. No matter what happens, we're going to allow that or fuel that as an opportunity for us to get better. So when the tournament does come, everybody's in. And there's that time where you look at your record, no matter what happens, and you're 0-0 just like everybody else is. And as long as you've learned your lessons and you've gotten better from no matter what it is that happened, you can make that run. You know, it's playing Shaker, it's playing Solon, it's playing Brunswick, you know, all those tough teams that we played in our conference that all of a sudden when we opened up and we played against Avon and then we played Elyria and then we played Mid Park and then we went on to play Lorain, we were ready for them. And we didn't do that on our own. We did that because of the teams that we play all season long. We endured it. We studied it. We went to the drawing board. We made our adjustments, and we peaked. And that's the key, man. You want your team to be playing its best basketball towards the end of your season, getting ready to go on that run.
So I know that this year you've kind of put a theme in place of the brotherhood. Explain to everybody out there, one, where you got the idea, two, what that means and represents, and how you're using it to fuel some of the things you've talked about, the love for the game, the love for your teammates, the to drive what you hope is going to be a successful season.
Wow, a lot of people are going to think the brotherhood came from Duke or another team, but the truth is, it was back when I coached at Albion. And we always, there was a time where I coached both the 8th and the 7th grade teams. And when I did, we had this big dog and puppy dog system where every 8th grader was paired up with the 7th grader, the 8th grader being the big dog, the 7th grade being the puppy dog. We had a little ceremony, and they really looked out for each other, and we kind of created that togetherness. It didn't have a name yet. It just kind of existed. Then I had a team come in that actually branded it as the Brotherhood, and they took it to another level. I've always had those players come back over the years. We have a tip-off dinner every year, and I kind of ran the Brotherhood as kids I used to coach in middle school and at the freshman level. And I've always dreamed of taking it to the very top, to the highest level as a varsity coach. And now that I'm there, I'm ecstatic about it. It's taking an idea that I didn't do myself. I had the help of my players and putting it to the forefront of Strongsville basketball now. It's an elite community is what I see. It's a system that you're held accountable for yourself, but you always look after each other. You know, there's high standards, and it's not going to be for everybody. But the people that are in it are really going to see that it's not only going to help them as a basketball player, but also as a young man. You know, I believe in coaching the young man first and the player second. The Brotherhood pretty much stands just for that. So what we're going to do in our Brotherhood is every team is going to be paired up with someone younger. And it's going to be a mentorship, kind of like a fraternity atmosphere almost. And then the lines will hopefully go on and on and on. So it's what I like it to do is it's going to extend from the high school down to the middle school and even beyond the years of wearing a Mustang uniform. It's a place where the players can always come back and feel like family, feel like they have an ownership in what's existing and what's going on. And for the players of today, they realize that they're not just playing for themselves. They're playing for a larger group of people that are brought together, not just by blood, but by basketball. And even though it's not by blood, it runs just as strong. So it's kind of bringing a little substance to not just a basketball program. It's making it go a little bit deeper, a deep family rooted in brotherhood.
So talk about the standards that the Brotherhood stands for. I heard today when I was dropping my son off earlier for open gym, you and Coach Jankar were talking about music in the weight room, mm-hmm. and just the type of lyrics and music that you expected to be played in the weight room. And so talk about how that fits into the Brotherhood, the standards. What are the things that you want to see from the kids on the court, in the community, in the classroom? Just throw out a couple things that you, if you envision what the perfect program looks like, what are some things in those areas that you would want to see your kids doing that is going to have them live up to this Brotherhood culture that you're trying to build?
Well, I mean, we're trying to put discipline at the forefront. I mean, in any program, in any classroom, in any journey in life, discipline is a key component. You know, they have to learn how to make sacrifices, how to not give in to their emotions all the time. You know, one of the things that we said, that there'll be no profanity on the court, including the coaches. And that's going to be difficult, but, you know, we have to lead the way. Because not only discipline, but part of being a man is composure. We want our team and the players on the team to always have composure along with our coaches. You know, it's easy to have composure when things are going well, but when you miss that shot, when you get a foul called on you that you didn't feel you deserved or whatnot, those are the moments that I want my players to truly show who they are and what they're all about and what they're representing. So discipline and composure, and I want them to not be afraid to be a leader. You know, to lead themselves, each other, in positive directions. So I you know, it's one of the things that I think nowadays is sometimes special is expected. You know, like it's going to be special, and they just sit back and wait for it to happen. Like, you know, we're a varsity basketball team. People are going to come watch us play. I don't agree with that. You know, we need to create special. And we need to create a situation that invites people, that gets their heads turning our way, and for us to feel good about. So, you know, it's the idea of when you come see us and with our Brotherhood, we're going to be working hard to create special. We're not going to expect it. We're going to work hard for it. We're going to celebrate it when it's there. And we're going to work harder when it's not to bring it there. So, you know, those are huge things right there.
Yeah, I think discipline and leadership, the two things that I hear you saying there. How do you give kids an opportunity? This is one of the things that I think is so different about the game of basketball now than when you and I were kids, is that when I grew up playing, I played on the playground. I played with guys who were older than me. I played with adults. I traveled to different parts of the city to find games. And now kids grow up in a system where they only play with kids their own age. They only play with an official. There's always a coach. Their dad's in the stands. And so the opportunities to stand up for yourself, to become a leader, to pick your team, to kind of fight for yourself, they're not there as much for kids because of the way the system is set up.
Right.
So how do you put that leadership back on them? As a coach, obviously, you're the ultimate overseer, the leader. How do you give your kids an opportunity to develop their leadership skills?
Well, and I've learned this not only with X's and O's sometimes, but in dealing with kids. You know, as a coach and as a teacher, sometimes we get caught up in having control. You know, and there comes a point where you need to be in control and you need to provide the guidelines for them. But I think the key and the answer to your question is surrendering some of that. And there goes the trust again. You have to be able to build that relationship of trust with your players and them with you and them with each other, to where you can let go of some of that control. And when you let it go, they pick it up. Yeah, I can't let it go and just have it go by the wayside. It needs to be picked up. So we're going to try hard to train our players and to put them in situations where they're ready to pick up that control and to do something with it. So you got to give kids opportunities. And one of the things that I like to do and I like to think about is, you know, I see basketball and the path that they do, that they're on, as a road. You know, I don't want to tell them where to drive on the road, but I think it's up to us as coaches and a staff to construct the curves, to keep them on the road, but allow them to drive where they need to. You know, there's guidelines. But, you know, I think one of the things that that's always helped me out as a coach, and I can definitely nod my head to as far as the success that I've experienced when I have, is the fact that I have strong relationships with my players. And it doesn't just happen. They need to feel respected. They need to feel trusted. And even in the classroom with my kids, you know, once they feel that, they'll give it back to you tenfold. And that's what my players have always done for me. And that's why I absolutely love what I do.
Where did that relationship building come from? Because if you think again back to when you and I were kids, there was a lot less talk about relationship coaching. You had more of the Bobby Knight style, the fire and brimstone guy that's yelling and wasn't interested in building a relationship. And I know I played for a college coach that was maybe not a yeller, didn't swear, but just was not that interested in building a relationship. And I think now there's so much more of a push of, hey, we want to build relationships. But what I hear you saying is that it's always been an important part of what you've done as a coach. So why do you think that is?
It's always been my bread and butter. It's who I am. You know, I think it's something that has always been important to me. It's not something that I read about in a book or was told about by somebody. It's just me and the way I approach situations. You know, I mean, it all started with me as a teacher in the classroom. You know, I realized that my best classes and the best years that my kids have, and when they come back to see me and they look back and they remember me as a sixth grade teacher, it's because of the relationships. You know, and you know, it just spills over. When I teach, I feel like I'm coaching. When I coach, I feel like I'm teaching. It's who Mr. Lip is. It's who Coach Lip is. And it's who I want to make sure I continue to be, because it's been a successful formula in the past. And if something works, I'm going to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You don't want to go away from your strengths. So that being said, as you look forward to this season, so you've just started your preseason routine and starting to get prepared for your season, what do you foresee being the biggest challenge for you and your team as you head into this season? What's the one thing that you say, boy, we got to meet this challenge head on if we're going to have a successful season?
We're young. We're very, very young. We do have some seniors that I feel can contribute to the direction that we're going. And, you know, I also believe strongly in senior leadership. And I told those seniors, you better work those shoulders out, because they're going to be sore with all the stuff I'm going to put on them. You know, I'm really relying on my seniors, and I'm relying on some of these young kids to develop quickly, to ripen quickly. We have a lot of superstar JV players this year that I'm going to look at and say, we need you to play varsity. We need you to get ready quick. Part of it's going to be on them. Part of it's going to be on my seniors. And part of it is going to be on the coaching staff. It's going to be a combined effort to get these kids ready. You know, we have a very, very strong sophomore class this year that, you know, it makes the future look bright. Just today, we got done with open gym, and we probably had almost 80 kids here between the middle school and the high school. The future looks bright. But at the same token, like I said before, I want to pick up where we left off last year. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. And I know it's overused a lot, but it's going to be a process. But we have to stick to it. And we got to create some momentum for each other, keep the relationship in the center, let our brotherhood be the engine to fuel us through the good times and through the tough times, and keep our eye on the prize, which is making Strongsville one of the big reasons why the GCC is as tough as it is.
So why do you think that as you head into this, you know, as you head into this season and you head into your first full year as a varsity coach, why do you think that you're headed for success? What do you think it is about you and the relationships that you're building and the program you're building? What are you selling to the kids? What's the thing you say, guys, we're going to win because what is that? What is that? What is that thing?
Love. Love. You know, it's funny, but I was watching this March Madness show. We were talking about March Madness before, and all these college coaches, you name the big coach, they were sitting around this round table. Never forget watching this. And they went around and they asked every college coach about their championship team and asked them a characteristic about that team and how they did what they did. Not one of them said anything about talent. Not one of them ever said anything about size or the superstars on the team, they all said the same thing. It was the love the players had between each other. It was the chemistry that was created. I think that's the strength of our program. The number one thing that when I got this job that I knew I wanted to do was I needed to find a staff that was strong in building relationships with kids, that knew that their ego didn't, what was not the powering factor there, but rather it was their love for their kids, the love for teaching, and their love to create and watch their players create. I have a staff that I know is going to show up in that sort of way, and that's going to allow that love to flow between the players and the team. When you walk in and you see us working out, when you walk in and you see us conditioning, when you walk in and you're going to see us practicing, no matter what it is that we're doing, you're going to see players that want to be there. You're going to see players that are exercising their love for the game that brings us all together. These years are going to go fast for these guys. I mean, you know yourself, Mike, before you know it, it's going to be all said and done. That jersey is going to be packed away and waiting for a new body in it, and you're going to be off to your next journey. I want these kids to realize that time is precious, and that the best thing they can do is soak up each and every moment that they can, and not be afraid to express that love and share it with each other. It's the love in this program that's gonna point us towards success.
So how do you think, I know that it was important to you when you were putting together your staff to have teachers that teach in the district as a main part of your staff. And I'm assuming that that goes with the whole relationship building and the amount of time that your coaching staff is going to be able to spend with, whether they're teaching at the middle school and building those relationships there, at the high school, whatever the case may be. I know, speaking for myself, back when I was coaching and I was the assistant varsity coach, in my building as an elementary school teacher I was across the parking lot. Mm-hmm. So I was literally 150 yards from the high school.
Right.
And that being said, I still felt a disconnect sometimes between the kids that I was responsible for coaching and what I needed to do, simply because I wasn't walking the halls with them every single day and being able to say hello and share that love and share that trust and share that relationship. So I always found it to be a little bit harder. So talk a little bit about why you felt it was so important to have the bulk of your staff made up of teachers from the district.
Well, I mean, we're Strongsville employees, and my goal is to look at these guys and let them do what they do best, and that's teach kids. You know, teaching and coaching goes hand in hand. It really does. There's times, like I said, I'm in my classroom, I might as well have a whistle on. There's times where I'm at practice and I might as well have a book in front of me. You know, it's what we do. It's our livelihood. You know, our program, this is all Strongsville. I mean, this is all Strongsville. Everything we own is green. Everything we own, you know, and it's just that loyalty. And at the end of the day, we care. This is our district. It's not just our team. It's not our. This is our district. This is where our whole livelihood is. So I think naturally, we're attached more than anybody else could possibly be, you know. And by having an all teacher staff, I mean, it's just, it's what we do. We work with kids, you know. I have a coach on the staff that's at the high school. I have coaches at the staff that's at the middle school. We got these kids surrounded.
Exactly.
We got them surrounded.
Exactly.
They're going to feel love, but we're going to be able to carry out that whole mission of brotherhood no matter where it is they look. I have a lot of colleagues at the high school. I have a lot of colleagues at the middle school, and they all know how to get to me, and I know how to get to them. We care not only what these kids do on the court. We care about what they do everywhere, everywhere. And everywhere they go, there's going to be somebody there that they know, as far as our staff, as far as teachers go. What it does is it takes these laces on the shoe of our program, and it pulls them nice and tight. You know, no feet are going to slip out of these shoes, or they're in there tight, and it's going to set up for a good situation as we move forward.
It keeps everybody accountable, keeps the kids accountable to the coaching staff, and I think what I hear you building towards is, eventually you're going to get to a point where the coaching staff's no longer going to have to uphold the standards. The kids are going to be holding each other to those standards, because they're always going to know that they're part of that bigger brotherhood that you're trying to build. And once you can get the kids saying, hey, that's not the way we do things around here, I think then that's when you got some.
That is ultimate success right there. That's winning the conference for me, is to know that everybody is not only on board with our mission, but everybody's looking to enforce it, not only with themselves, but with each other. I mean, that's the dream right there.
So let's ask one more Strongsville basketball program related question before we jump into a couple other things. And that is, when a kid's done with you, now obviously the kids that were seniors last year, you know, you may have had a relationship with them in the past, but they didn't go through quote unquote your program
right
for 4 years. So let's take a kid who's starting out, he's in ninth grade this year, he's going to play through your program for 4 years. When that kid leaves at the end of his senior year, besides saying, hey, Coach Lip taught me X, Y, and Z about basketball, what else do you want that kid to leave with that, hey, Coach taught me this? What are those things, or what is that thing that you hope they take away from their experience playing in your program?
How to believe in myself, how to bring the best out in other people, how to wake up in the morning and realize it's not all about me. Waking up in the morning and looking in the mirror and saying, what can I do for others? I mean, that's what we try to preach all the time. It's not just about you. You know, when we're conditioning and the kids are running hard and they're hunched over and they're tired, we always say, get over yourself. This ain't about you. Look at each other. Make sure the guy on your left and on your right is okay. And then all of a sudden you'll forget about yourself because all your efforts are going to go into each other. You know, I want to help them become the man that they are. You know, I want to team up with their parents and the people that care for them. And I want to be part of the process of the man that they become, so that when they go out into the real world, they can use their experience with me in basketball as a way to become successful in life and truly make a difference.
I think that's one of the biggest things that is important to me as a coach, and it's important to me as a parent with the programs, whether it's basketball or soccer or football or whatever the program is that kids are involved in, that it has to be about more than just winning on the floor.
Right.
It has to be about those life lessons. It has to be about things I can take away from my experience that are going to help me when I'm 25, that are going to help me when I'm 35, that I'm going to remember when I'm 50 years old and I get on the phone and I call Coach Lip and I say, hey, I may not remember what our record was when I was a junior, but I remember the way you treated me. I remember the standard that you held us to. And to me, there's no more gratifying feeling than when your former players come back to you and call you and share the things that, again, I've had numerous players that have played for me over the years, whether it was camp or whether it was playing on a team, that come back to me and say, hey, I remember this. But they never tell me, I remember we were 17-3. It's always something about, to go back and bring this conversation full
circle,
that's
usually what you remember.
It's the relationships.
Absolutely.
It's the relationships that you've built with kids that make a difference, and that's what allows you to have the impact that you're describing.
And they're going to be men a lot longer than they're going to be basketball players. And you know, I want to have an impact on the kind of player they are, but down the road, I want them to be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what, Coach Lip helped me with this, and his staff, and that's what it's all about. It's why I do what I do.
So let's talk about, let's jump to a somewhat related but different topic. You're going to have two sons that are going to be part of the program. And one of the things that I always find fascinating when I talk to coaches, because I'm in this experience myself with my daughter who's a freshman, my son who's in seventh grade, and then I have another daughter who's in third grade. And to varying degrees, I've coached them all. And I always find the dynamic of how do I balance coach versus dad versus how that relationship plays out. So talk a little bit about how you handle that situation with your two boys.
Well, the first thing is, you know, we have four kids at home, and as a father, you know, gosh, they're all so different.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a different combination on each of their locks. And there's things I can do with one that I can't do with the other. There's an approach I can do with one that I can't do with the other. And, you know, the two boys, the first thing we need to make sure that they make the teams and that they're able to earn a jersey. But I think I'm learning. I'm not going to say that I have it all figured out. You know, I mean, there's things about this season I haven't had figured out yet. But, you know, as I wake up in the day, I wake up knowing that I don't know everything. My ears are always open. I'm always open for advice. you know, I people like yourself, I might ask, hey, how did you handle this? Or what did you do there? You know, and that's why we have each other, you know, and that's an important thing for me too. I do know some coaches that have gone through this path and they've already gone through it, man. Give me a little bit of advice. But there are some things that I figured out on my own that I know going in I'm going to have to do or maybe even not do. You know, number one is when you come into my open gym or you come into my practice or conditioning or weight room, if you don't know me, I want you to be able to come in and not have a clue who my kid is. That's the number one thing. I don't want to be harder on them. I don't want to be easier on them. When they're here, I think I could make a clear cut separation between dad and coach. You know, I've had a little practice. I've taught him in school also. So I have kind of had a dry run through this, which has helped me out. But probably the biggest thing that I've learned is that if they're truly treated like the other players, that when practice is over or when games are over, those kids don't have to hear me talk about it. They don't have to hear it on the way home. They don't have to hear it when they're eating dinner. They don't have to talk to me while they're watching TV. So one of the things that I'm going to work on the most is that when practice is over, I'm going to allow my kids to leave it there in the gym.
How hard is that?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be real hard.
Absolutely.
And I hope my wife's ready because I'll probably be talking to her about it. But I think in order for this to be a healthy situation for everybody, I have to let go when it's over. When it's over, it needs to be over for them and for me. So if they come to me and they ask me things on their own about a game or about practice, you know, I'm certainly not going to turn them away, but I'm going to let them initiate it. Other than that, you know, I'm going to try as hard as I can to not talk about basketball things at home unless we're watching somebody else's game.
So last week we had on Greg White, who he's a coach from Arkansas, and I heard him speak at the USA Basketball Coaches Academy like 2 weeks ago. And he had a son who just graduated, and then he has another son who I believe is going to be a sophomore this coming year. And he talked about – he called it the stop sign rule, where he's coach while he's on the school campus, and he gets to the stop sign at the end of the driveway, and as soon as he and his sons cross over that stop sign, he shifts from being coach to being dad. And I had never heard it described quite in that way, but I think it's a great way for anybody out there, whether you're a youth coach that you're coaching your kid as a six-year-old soccer player, or you're a high school varsity coach and you're trying to navigate how to coach your kids. I think that's a good way to look at it. It kind of sums up how I felt and what I just heard you describe in a very simple, concise, easy to understand form. I get to the stop sign. Up until that point, I'm coach. As soon as I cross over, I'm back to being dad. And now you've continued to be able to navigate that relationship, because I know it's a challenge. I face it all the time, you know, with my own kids and trying to decide where do I push, where's that line, how much do I do, and it's a difficult thing to navigate. And I think that what I hear you saying and what I hear most coaches that I've talked to saying is you have to be able to draw that line.
Right.
And if you don't, if you blur it, then you get yourself in trouble.
Absolutely. I mean, it could either be a very special experience or it could be a disaster. And I think that, like what you talked about with the stop sign, that's important. I have to allow the kids to let it go when everybody else has the ability to.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
That's, you know, like I said, there's going to be times I slip up, but I'm going to do my best to catch that and to make the adjustment to get better and better at it. I have a little time. They're still young.
That's right. Exactly. You haven't messed them up too bad. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
We all just try not to mess up the kids too bad. So I heard you say there that you have coaches, people that you can go to, that you can talk to. So who are some of the people, if you need advice or you want to learn something, what are some people or resources that you go to help make yourself a better coach?
Well, I'm always online. I mean, online today, you can pretty much find anything that you're looking for. You know, I listen to a lot of people, you know, in interviews and this and that. You know, it's not always the X's and O's. I mean, I do watch and I do like to catch some X's and O's and do some stealing here and there. But I like to listen to the interviews. I like to listen to the behind the scenes stuff. to see how they react, what they say, how they treat players. I do a lot of reading. You know, I read a book. I read Coach K's book. Then I read Dean Smith's book, John Wooden's book. And I try to see, you know, you're never going to read somebody else's book and say, yep, all that's for me. But I try to filter it, and I try to pick up on common themes that I read in everybody's book. Because if it works for 3, 4, 5 successful coaches, there's got to be something there that has some substance that I look at. So, you know, between reading, going online, and funny thing is, you don't always have to be a basketball mind to teach me something. Sometimes it could be somebody that you would least expect to be able to give you some knowledge and to be able to, you know, shed some light on situations. So, you know, my father's always been an important figure in my life. My dad has a way of keeping basketball very, very simple. He breaks it down almost to the point where it drives me nuts, to the point where, man, you guys couldn't hit any shots. Them guys need to use the backboard. It's so simple. It's like, Dad, I know. It's such a no-brainer. Right. But sometimes the simplicity is what makes things tick. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we have to do and this and that and this and that that we lose sight of the simplicity. And once we regain that, then all of a sudden, everything falls in line. So he's kind of my go-to guy to keep it in perspective and to kind of sort through all the messy stuff and just look at the heart of the matter when I have situations I got to deal with.
Yeah, I think obviously, if you have a good relationship with your parent, I think that most coaches, and I know when I was coaching, my dad was an important figure, and when I was playing, and he was an important figure when I was coaching, in terms of just those same things, just bouncing an idea or talking through or whatever the case right. might be. And then the other thing that I liked that you said was, you know, you're looking for, yeah, you're online, you're looking for X's and O's, and maybe you occasionally, you know, maybe you steal one of Brad Stevens' out of bounds players right. or something like that. But for the most part, now you're not the only guy doing that. Every guy out there is on the same site, seeing the same X's and O's, the same plays, and it's almost like X's and O's have become a commodity,
right?
Where everybody kind of has those things, and the difference between one coach and the other and X's and O's, but what really comes down to is, again, the thing that we've talked about for this entire conversation: how do you build that culture? How do you build the relationships? How do you create the love for your teammates and the game and your coaching staff? And that really is where you're picking up things that make a difference, because anybody can diagram an out of bounds play,
right?
But not everybody can be the kind of leader that brings kids together in a way that makes them want to compete and play for themselves. And I think that's what I hear you saying, that those things are what really make a difference in your coaching.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, and I believe this, that, you know, don't get me wrong, I mean, X's and O's.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But every X and every O can be stopped. Every single one. A defense could be thrown at you, or a play that you weren't waiting for. That's not going to get you through all the time. And sometimes it's going to be this player having a great relationship with this one, this player trusting that one, me looking up and them immediately looking at me to listen to what I have to say to make a last second move. So, you know, it's basketball goes deeper than the X's and O's. Definitely. That's not the foundation of what we're doing.
So to sum up, the relationships that you're building here between your staff and your players, between the players themselves, between the program and the community, are all things that maybe haven't been as strong in the last 5 to 10 years, for whatever those reasons are. And so I know, and I'm speaking again for myself as an alumni, as a parent, as somebody who's invested in the community, that I can't wait to see how things are going to turn out. And I'm super excited by what you've done to this point. I can tell you that my son comes home from everything that he's had an interaction with the program and has been nothing but excited. So I am beyond looking forward to what's going to happen with Strongsville basketball. I want to just say thank you for coming on. Is there a way that people can, I know you're on Twitter at least, is there a way that people can get in touch with you if people have heard the podcast and want to reach out to you? Any way that people can get in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always good to have that network of people, you know, and create relationships.
For sure.
They could email me at jlipowski, LIPOWSKI, at scsmustangs.org. Or like I said, I'm also on Twitter as well. So one of those two ways, or better yet, they can come to one of our home
games. Come out and see a game.
Maybe you'll catch a shirt.
Yeah. That's right. Come out and watch the Stars and Mustangs play this year. So, John, I want to just say thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to jump on the podcast with me. It's been an absolute pleasure to sit down and have a conversation with you. As I said a moment ago, I'm really looking forward to seeing what the future holds for Strongsville basketball. Obviously, I'm more invested in your program than any other high school program and any other coach that I'm going to talk to. So I just say thank you for coming on. And to everyone out there, we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate having your support and your encouragement. And I'm glad you're a Mustang.
It's been a pleasure, John. Thanks.
Head Start Basketball is excited to announce their new Player Development Academy classes. This offers Cleveland area players a unique opportunity to improve their basketball skills. Regardless of a player's age, skill level, or position, training with Head Start Basketball will elevate their game to the next level. All player development classes will be held at the Strongsville Recreation Center on Monday evenings. During your child's first class, we will evaluate his or her ball handling, shooting, and agility. We will discuss your availability and schedule to ensure we have them in the right class for their development. Players will be evaluated frequently to ensure they are training in the proper class for their current skill level. For more information about this class, please visit headstartbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.